Hey, this is Catherine Britt, and you're listening to Lee Williams.
Page by page, you know my whole damn story and love me anyway. And I know that you're always there and you always care. Show up night after night. Yeah, I know you bring the party. We light up the night. I know that you'll be right there to the bitter end. Yeah, we bow and we bend.
One thing I've come to realize, after many years and long miles, for you I do all that I can. There's nothing like a country band. Woo! Come. A country fan. There's nothing like a country fan. Yeah.
Nothing like a country fan. Anyway, welcome on the line, Catherine Britt. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
We're good. We're good. You've got the same problems there as we have here?
I guess the whole world, unfortunately, is in the same boat, which kind of sucks. But that's how it is right now, unfortunately.
Because you were doing some dates. Have they been cancelled because of this?
We were coming over last year. I mean, we pretty much come over, every year, once a year, if not more. It's a bit of a shame because, I kind of miss that, usual thing, and it's a big part of my touring circuit, and I really enjoy that whole experience of doing that, but it's a real bummer. And not to mention, Australian touring's completely pretty much cancelled as well, so it's been a really sort of hard year last year, and hopefully this year is slightly better, though it's not looking like it's going to be too much better at this point, but hopefully it will be a little bit better.
No, it's really messed up the entertainment business, that's for sure. Let's talk about, you have a new album and a new single. The album's called Home Truce and the single's called Me. So we're going to talk about that in a minute, but first, I first found you as an artist when I got a duet single with you and Sir Elton John, which I thought, my goodness, this is an amazing song.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it was sort of a bit of an introduction, I guess, for me. It was my second single, released, and it was kind of, a really special moment in my career for sure, and something that I look back on as a very iconic moment for me. And, still to this day, he's, a very supportive and kind person and always checks in and is still a supporter of my music. And I'm very grateful for that. I can't ever really repay him for what he's done for me, and I don't really know how I ever would, but he's been very kind, and it was a really wonderful thing to get to sing with him, for sure.
And how did that come together?
Yeah, he was touring in Australia when I released my debut album. I was 16, 17 at the time, and he came across my album in a record shop. He just went in and sort of said to the guy behind the counter, you know, what's new, what's cool, you know, fill me in on what I should buy. And the guy behind the counter, for whatever reason, recommended my debut album to him. And he took that along with a bunch of other CDs with him on tour. And, fell in love with the album, thank goodness, and got in contact with me through the label I'd just signed with, ABC Universal, here in Australia, and said he wanted to meet me. And I went along to his final gig here in Australia on his big national tour. He was playing in Sydney, which isn't far from where I grew up. And I drove down and, met him and kind of went from there. He sort of said, I want to help you out. And, you know, I'm going to take a bunch of CDs back to America with me when I go there next to tour. And I'm going to try and get your record deal and all this stuff. And it was a bit surreal, to be honest, because I was a 17-year-old girl and thinking, why in God's name do you like care about me? Like, it was just really bizarre, but a really amazing experience, and I just kind of ran with it and embraced every minute, you know, because I knew I wouldn't get an opportunity like that again. You know, it was so special.
I mean, you got such a great voice, so I mean, I can understand why Elton thought that. You know, I mean, it's unique and it's just pure.
That's so sweet. Thank you very much.
No, I really mean that. I always look forward to, you know, and ever since then, every time I see anything with Catherine Britt, I play.
That's left unattended surely will burn out and die.
Now that we're down to nothing but ashes, if this way we both say goodbye.
Let's talk about you. So how did you get into country music in the first place?
Well, my dad, you know, is a big music fan. I mean, you know, he loves all sorts of music. He's a psychologist by trade. But he, you know, just loves music, and he's a big fan and always was playing music around the house, and he's a collector of records and books and all that stuff. So I grew up in a very musical household, not that he played anything or sang, you know, no one in my family were musicians at all, but, you know, he was just this massive fan. And so he kind of raised me on a couple of different things, and then I got into singing from a young age, and then it wasn't until actually he played me a movie, and he must have sensed that I, you know, was really into singing and whatever, and thought, I'm going to show us some stuff. And he played me a movie called Coal Miner's Daughter, which, of course, is the autobiographical film of Loretta Lynn's life. Mm-hmm. And I saw that at 9 years old, and I don't know what it was about that film, but it just really just changed my life. Like, I can't explain what it did to me, but at that age, I just thought, oh, my God, that's exactly what I want to do. Like, I, you know, she's a coal miner's daughter, and she came from, like, this sort of poor area and, you know, went on to this, you know, amazing fame. And, you know, I'm from a coal mining town in Australia, in Newcastle, and, you know, not from a poor family, but, you know, a simple, you know, middle-class family in Newcastle, Australia. And I just sort of saw this dream all laid out in front of me, like, I wanted to be her. And it kind of grew from there. He kind of started introducing me to different stuff that come home from school, and there'd be a new record on the end of my bed, or a book or autobiography or a film about the history of folk music or something. And, you know, that's how I discovered Dolly Parton and Hank Williams. And, you know, I delved right into the history of country music really young. You know, I just got so into the whole beginnings of it and how it all began, and the whole sort of story of how it developed, you know, from songs being brought over from England, Ireland, and Scotland, and developing in the mountains and becoming this whole genre that, you know, of course got recorded in the, you know, 30s in Bristol, and, you know, kind of became this whole thing. And I just was blown away by it. I don't know what it was. It was like I was going to school and learning one thing, and I was coming home and learning the history of music. And it's all thanks to my dad, really.
So you developed, you started recording, you met Elton, and that obviously opened doors for you in America, where you lived for a while, did you not?
Yeah, I was over there for about 6 years total. I moved there at 17 and then ended up coming back to Australia at about 23 to sort of figure out what to do next, and then realised I kind of wanted to, I'd rather base myself in Australia and go back and forth and sort of base myself in Nashville. So I decided to do that, and I've, you know, just been doing that ever since.
Obviously got married and had children.
Yeah, all the usual
life things that happen.
Yeah, I've got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old boy. And, yeah, I got married. We've since, you know, separated, and I'm, you know, on my own again now. So I'm single mumming it and running my career. And, yeah, it's quite full on, let's put it that way.
And for the first time in your 20 years of a career, you're now an independent artist with your own label.
That was a pretty full on decision. You know, at this point in my career, I've always been with labels pretty much my entire career, except for, you know, that I released my debut album momentarily and independently, and then I got picked up by a label and re-released when I was 16. So ever since then, I've been signed to labels, you know, and I've had labels pay for everything. I've had every, you know, team take care of everything. And I never really learnt how to run my own career or how the music business totally really worked, you know, the ins and outs of the cogs of the machine. I just kind of let other people deal with it and for the rest of my laurels a little bit. And, you know, it wasn't until I had kids that I realised how important it was to really own my masters and own my music. And, you know, it was such a journey to get to this point. I had to buy back all my publishing and the rights to all my music, and there's some albums I'll never own, so I'm, you know, at some point really soon I'll be able to re-record them and release them in a different way, which I'll probably end up doing, because I hate the feeling that I won't own these, you know, whole albums of songs that are so important to me and so important to my career. And you know, I don't think I would have done this any earlier than now. It just felt like the right time to do this and go out on my own and start my own record label and kind of go down this whole whirlwind of a journey that it's been, and it really has been this whole learning curve. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity, and my fans helped crowdfund the record, and it's been a whirlwind learning curve, that's for sure. But I'm really feeling empowered and excited about the next steps.
That's great. Well, let's talk about the new single first before the album. It's called Me, and tell me about that. Did you write it?
Yeah, with a friend of mine. It was an idea I had during COVID. I was in lockdown, obviously, at home in Newcastle, and I was doing Facebook Lives, and my mum actually went through her house during COVID and sort of, you know, cleaned it out, and she had this, you know, whole room full of my memorabilia from my 20 years in my career. Just she kept magazines and diaries and emails and just everything. It was just nuts. So much stuff. And she said, okay, you're taking it all now. I'm done, you know, I'm done with holding this at my house. I'll keep collecting stuff as the years go on, but you can take the last 20 years and store it at your house. And I was like, oh my God. So I got all these boxes and started sifting through them, you know, during COVID as I was doing these lives. And it was like going back through time, you know, and especially the Nashville years, you know, really hit me hard, discovering all this stuff and all these emails and things I was just so unaware of because I was so young. And I guess what I realized really quickly through all of that was I should have just been me all along. You know, I should have just been me and be okay with that and not so concerned all the time to be somebody else or to prove something or, you know, try and do something that wasn't me because people told me I had to do something or whatever. And I guess that's what the song is about. It's just this realization that it was okay all along just to be me, you know, and that was enough.
Okay. Well, we'll play that at the end of the interview, and I'll get you to announce
that.
Yeah,
cool.
But let's talk about Home Truth. So are these all, you know, your own songs that you've written for the Home Truth album?
You know, some by myself, some with friends and co-writers. So it's a whole collection of just, you know, my last year and a half, year or two of my life. And, you know, I'm a very autobiographical songwriter. I'm very honest. I'm very in-your-face, real, I guess, sometimes, which can be quite confronting. But, you know, I guess that's why I called the album Home Truths, because as I get older, I get more honest and more autobiographical as we go. But, you know, I'm proud of that. And I think, to me, that sums up country music, you know.
Yeah.
Home truths are the truths that you don't want to hear sometimes, but you need to hear. You know, like they're a little bit harsh, they're a little bit in your face, but you kind of needed to hear them. And that's country music to me. You know, it's like honesty and raw realness that cuts you to the core. So to me, it summed up the record, and it just made sense to kind of you know, call it Home Truth.
Give me one of the songs now to play.
I guess for me, one that's standing out at the moment a lot for me is Hard to Love, which actually features Jim Lauderdale. He sings a harmony on it, and yeah, it's a really special track. So yeah, maybe that one.
Okay, we'll play that now.
Hey, this is Catherine Britt, and you're listening to Lee Williams.
Light as a feather, crazy as a loon. Yeah, there's nothing more devastating than you. Every morning and I
what we've been through together. We've come so far. Yeah, you're so hard to love, but I love you so hard.
That's our special guest, Catherine Britt, and we continue talking about the album Home Truths. Now, so Beverly Hillbilly Records, is that your own label?
It is my own label, yeah. So I'm going to develop that over the next, you know, year or so and sort of turn it into a little bit of a artist services thing and you know, start releasing some other artists. I do a lot of producing now of sort of young up-and-coming artists and developing them and writing songs with them and getting them in the studio and kind of getting them out the other side. So that's my plan long term. I'm looking forward to that journey as well. Yeah, look, I think we definitely have a strong scene here. There's actually a track on the album called Country Fan, which is all about, you know, the fans here in Australia. They're like, you know, I play in these really remote areas all over the outback and, you know, in the bush here in Australia, and people travel for, there's just no limit, you know, like they'll travel 1,000 kilometres to come see you play if they want to. Like, they are the ultimate fans, and they're fans for life. You know, if they love you, they're dedicated and they're there. They're with you forever, you know, like you've kind of got them, you got them for the whole journey. So it is a really special breed for sure, the country fans, and we're very lucky to have them embrace us and, you know, really nurture our careers. And especially when you become independent, they become such a big part of what you do. So I'm very grateful for that, for the whole scene here, for sure.
Because January normally is the big Tamworth Festival, isn't it not?
It is normally, yeah.
Not this year, though.
This year, of course, yeah, been cancelled. But, you know, us as artists, we've just, like, ploughed through and we're all doing these little COVID-safe gigs because everyone's desperate to play a gig, so we're all going anyway. And of course, we've still got our big awards, the Golden Guitar Awards, which I'm actually hosting this year. So I'm excited to go for a few days. I know it's not its normal, usual self, but it'll be like a stripped back, smaller version of Tamworth. Yeah.
Good. Do you come to the UK at all?
Well, I haven't yet. And I am absolutely dying to do it. You know, I get so many emails.
You've
from,
got some fans,
Europe, UK. Yeah, it's just like crazy how much support I feel like I have from there. And I've just never got the opportunity to get over there. And it's just, you know, we keep trying and it's whatever, for whatever reason something happens or whatever. But we were actually, funnily enough, we were coming over. We had a whole tour booked for 2020. And of course, we didn't get to come. So, look, we've just pushed it back. I've got a fantastic team over there now working the record, and the plan is to come as soon as we can. So I'm sort of aiming for 2022.
Great. Well, we look forward to that, Catherine. And thank you so much for giving us the interview today. And if we can get you just to announce the new single.
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it and for playing my music and the support. It means the world to me. And this is my brand new single off my new album, Home Truth. This is Me. Hey, this is Catherine Britt, and you're listening to Lee Williams.
I used to party with the A-list, was the greatest, I was shameless. Caught up in the moment of the bright lights, the free ride, the upside of being on the inside. I don't wanna live on my phone, trying to feel in the darkness with a heart that's never felt so alone, trading in something priceless like realness. If I'm gonna be somebody, you can bet I'm gonna be somebody. I'm gonna be me. Be famous and faceless without my mess. No, I don't wanna be a shooting star with a new guitar, hiding my old scars just to ride in the fast cars. I don't wanna live on my phone, trying to feel in the darkness with a heart that's never felt so alone, trading in something priceless like realness.
can bet I'm gonna be somebody. Gonna be me. You can bet I'm gonna be somebody, gonna be me.